This is Victrios.
Fathers, I feel honored to give a word or a sermon today because I didn't think I was qualified, right? Because our fathers, I respect you so much. You do so much for us and you represent so much in our lives. But today I just want to give an encouragement to us, saying, and the title of my sermon is Celebrating Our Fathers. Amen. But first of all, I want to give honor to our God, who is the greatest father, who is a good, good father, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, the one who provides for us, the one who protects us. I don't see any hands. I don't see any appreciation. This God is the Alpha and the Omega. He was not born. He doesn't even have a father. He's the greatest that ever is. We celebrate you, Father. We appreciate your goodness and your greatness over our lives. You are great and greatly to be praised. Beautiful for all situations, the joy of the whole earth. We worship you, mighty Father. And today, as we share from your word today, we ask that every heart be blessed. And we'll not only be hearers of your word, but we'll be doers of it also, as you enable us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Celebrating our fathers. You know, I was listening to someone's message, and he was giving a statistics of, this was in 2018, statistics of homes that don't have fathers. And the results were really devastating. And what he was saying was that 20 million children will grow up without the presence of a father. And as a result of that, 63% of them might commit suicide. And 71% of them will be school dropouts. And it's likely that 85% of them will have behavioral disorders. And I was just thinking about it. A lot of times we complain or we have expectations for our fathers that we feel like they've not met. But hello, they were present. They were there in homes. I think just the presence of a man or a father in a house makes a whole lot of difference. Sometimes they don't say anything. There are few, I mean, I guess some men are you know, very abundant with their words, but some men are not. They are so quiet. We don't know what is happening up there. But just their presence speaks. And that's why we celebrate them. I believe God created them to fulfill a certain purpose in their families, and they are worth celebrating. We celebrate our fathers because God has called them to be protectors. I read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Men want to guard their territories. I can say for myself as a father, he's always wanting to know who that person is that's talking to me. There was a day I had neighbors, they're not necessarily from Yoruba, where we're from. He loved them, but he would say, what kind of name is that? He would ask me, he'd say, what's the name of your friend? And I'll say, oh, her name, their name is Tute or Motere. He'll be like, what kind of name is that? He's always questioning who I'm relating with, wants to know, you know, how they're doing in school, wants to know who their own parents are, who their fathers are, because he wants to protect me. He sees me hanging out with anyone. Who is that person? That's how men are. Have you realized that even our security guards, they are mostly men? I'm sure you see women, you know, from time to time, but most of the time we see men. They are strong, protective. And that's who God created them to be. We saw this scripture in Genesis 2, why God placed Adam in the garden to tend and to watch over it. So we know that this is where they get that protective ability from, because God put it on the inside of them. I think that's also one of the reasons why men, sometimes they don't talk. I think they want to protect us from the details because they feel, I got it. I'll take care of it. You don't need to know what is happening. I'll take care of it. Not because they don't trust us or they don't want us to know what is happening. I'll speak for being a wife. But I think a lot of times they want to shield us from, you know, the details. They want to handle it. And just like Olivia Pope will say, you know, I got it. I handled it. They want to be in charge and they don't want to bother us. And so we celebrate our men for protecting us. Protecting us from backlashing, protecting us from, a lot of men protect their wives from in-laws and things like that. So we celebrate our fathers for being our protectors. I just give a story. This is a personal one of my brother. He went to see his friend, and he and his daughter were walking, and his friend had a pool, and the daughter went straight to the pool. My brother, he followed her with his clothes and everything. His phone, everything was, you know, destroyed. But he didn't care. That was an instinct of a father. And I'm sure many of our fathers here would not even blink an eye if they had to do that for their children. And so we celebrate our fathers for protecting us, for not even thinking about it, but just going for it, just to shield us and protect us. Amen? We celebrate our fathers for being our providers. There are many times men will do more than one jobs at odd hours, long hours, just because they want to provide for their families. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. But not our men, right? Not our husbands, not our dads, not our brothers. They provide for us. They make sacrifices to provide material things. And much more than material things. They provide wisdom. They provide counsel. They provide guidance for us. They are like our heavenly Father. The Bible says the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want, in Psalm 23, verse 1. That's who God is. When we follow him, he provides for us. That's who our dads, who our father figures have been to us. They don't want us to lack anything. They provide for us. Amen? So we celebrate our fathers because God has called them to be providers, and that's what they've been doing in our lives. We also celebrate our fathers because they are priests of our homes. A priest is one who acts as a mediator between God and men. And when I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the story in scripture about Jairus, how he brought his daughter's case to Jesus. A lot of times we see prayer warriors as women. They want to intercede for their children and children to be. We know women as prayers, but can I say that fathers too pray? Can I say that fathers too have burdens on their hearts that they bring before God? When we read the story in Mark 5, we see that Jairus came and brought and told Jesus about his daughter. When you read down in scripture, you would see that the daughter had a mom too. So it's not like he stepped into that situation because he didn't, because the daughter didn't have a mom. Yes, his daughter had a mom, but he saw that he had value to bring to the girl's life, and he sought for a solution from Jesus. Can I just encourage our men today? Don't leave praying and the spiritual responsibility of your household to your wife or to the woman in the house. Take the lead, just like Jairus did in scripture. And we saw that even though she was dead, Jesus brought her back to life because he was the person who mediated. He brought the issues in his home to Jesus. Amen. I know some men don't like talking. Sometimes they just nod. Just ask them, how are you? They say, I'm fine. I got it. But God is your father. We're not necessarily saying talk to us as wives or to your mom or to, but please make sure you talk to God. He's your father and he loves you. He wants to support you. He wants to hold your hand to be able to take your home to that place that he desires for it to be. Amen. Another story in scripture was the story of Noah. Noah was someone that the Lord found as righteous. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So God found someone like Noah, and Noah was the person who took his whole family into the boat. And when disaster came upon the earth, they were safe. Amen. So we celebrate our fathers because they are our priests. We celebrate our fathers also because they are progenitors. I had to look for a P word for this. But really, they are pace setters. They are the ones who take the lead. They leave a legacy for generations to follow. They are legends. They are heroes. I know as believers, we call ourselves children of Abraham. He was a man, just one man. And let's read this scripture to see some of the things, see how he got here and what the Lord said concerning him. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. This was God's promise to Abraham. He gave him a command. But Abraham was bold enough he was a man of faith enough to not consider his natural sense. He leaned on God's instruction. He obeyed God's instruction. And my prayer for you, our fathers, is that you will hear what God is saying and you'll be able to be bold to move in that direction. You see that Abraham, this was not a conventional instruction. In fact, his father, Terah, had the same instruction, but he packed. He settled somewhere. But Abraham did not. He decided to go, headlong into the instruction that God gave him. And God rewarded him. Can I say that your children, this is to our fathers, I guess as mothers or parents, but fathers, your children look up to you. They follow in your footsteps. I'll give a typical example. I don't know if it's in all homes, it may not be, but I know of some homes too where the father is a certain profession and almost everybody in the house, they are that thing. In my house, my dad is an engineer. Three of them are engineers. I would say I'm a semi-engineer because I'm a computer person. But I actually applied to go for a bachelor's in engineering, but somehow God orchestrated it that I had to go to Babcock so that I had to meet my husband and all of that. But even generally, those that know me know that I'm quite good at fixing things. It's just who I am. And I know of families where their father is a doctor, and almost all of them are doctors. Because when fathers are confident in who they are and who God made them to be, they project that to their children. They even encourage their children to be that. So what you do not want to be, please don't be that to your children. What you don't want your children to be, don't project it. You don't want them to lie, don't lie. Don't want them to cheat, don't cheat. If you want them to have a happy home, you make a happy home. Love your wife in front of them. Respect your wife in front of them. So whatever you're doing, just know that your children are looking at you. So be a progenitor or person, a pace setter, a leader in the right direction. Because if you do bad, they go bad. I mean, by God's intervention, some people don't go the same way their parents did. Sometimes some people even say, oh, I don't want to be the person my father was. And they fight against what they've experienced. But can I say that it is easier to follow what you already grow in? So it's a challenge to us, a challenge to you, our fathers. Be the leader. Be the pace setter. Now, I could come up with lots of P words. How many of us realize that I started using P words in describing why we should celebrate our dads? I could call them, oh, they are our papas, right? That's almost the first thing a baby says when they are born. As moms, we are upset. We are like, after carrying you for for many months. You come out and you say, Papa, like what? Correct yourself. You meant to say Mama, right? But somehow they say Papa. We can call them many P names. We can say that they are our pillars, right? We can say that they are our pride. We can say they are simply phenomenal. We can say all those things about our fathers. But can I please encourage our fathers? Please be progressive. Be progressive. Don't settle. Don't settle. Yes, you're a good dad. You can be a great dad. Yes, you are a great dad, but you can be greater. Yes, you provide, but you can teach your children finances, right? Yes, you're great at playing with them, taking them to fun things that are physical, but you can teach them, do their homework with them. All the things that they need to do. I'm not saying that they don't, but I'm just saying that a lot of times as dads, I think, maybe from, I'm looking up there. There are more physical and more fun things. A lot of times when I go pick my children out of the norm, they're like, where is daddy? I'm like, I'm here. I came to pick you up. So why didn't daddy come? I'm like, I now preach to them. I say, how do you think I will feel if you if you're always asking for daddy when I come to pick you? Because sometimes I can be strict. I'm like, just enter the car. No snack. Do your homework before anything, because I want things. But it's great to have that balance. I just want to say that let's not settle. You're good. You can be great. You're great. You can be greater. Amen. And God will give you the grace to do that. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. You will reap your labor over your children in Jesus' name. They will not go wayward in Jesus' name. So don't stop correcting. Don't stop inspiring. Don't stop trying. I know there are times you try to change the diaper and it didn't quite work out. We saw some of the things that we're not supposed to see on the baby's clothes. But try again. The times you tried a project and it didn't quite work out, you feel like, oh, maybe it's a failure to your children or to your home. Try again. So whatever it is that God has placed in your heart, because he's the great father, he's the one leading you, please try again. Don't settle. Be progressive. Be persistent. Amen? The Bible also says in Titus chapter 2 from verse 6 to 7, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. In other words, practice what you preach. I also pause here to say that as older men, please look for younger people too that you can mentor. Like I shared the statistics earlier. There are lots of homes that don't have fathers, that don't have father figures, or maybe the fathers are present, but they're not doing what they ought to. As a godly man, as a man of valor, as a child of God that God has made you to be, invest in those lives. Verse 6 says, in the same way, encourage men to live wisely. God will help us all in Jesus' name. Now, for everyone else who is not a father, what can we do? What can we do? How can we support our fathers? We can praise them. Amen. We can encourage them. They are not perfect, but they are awesome. They are trying. Let's not look for the things that they are not doing. I'm sure, as I mentioned something, some people are almost nudging their husband. Did you hear? You can do homework. Did you hear? You can cook, you can do laundry. But that's not the point. Let's acknowledge what they're doing. Let's acknowledge the sacrifices they're making now. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. I know you're already doing it, but we can celebrate them not only on Father's Day, but every day of our lives. Let's make them realize how important we know they are. I know in the busyness of life, in getting things done, we sometimes overlook what they are doing. It's so sad that some people don't realize the value of their fathers or the value of the men in their lives until something happens to them and they lose them and they realize, oh, this is all that this man has been shielding me for. Ask some widows what they experience, or ask some orphans or people who have not had fathers in their lives. So let's celebrate our men. Let's praise them. Let's make them realize that we know that they are taking on a huge responsibility, but that we are supporting them. That yes, maybe they don't have it all perfect, but we're there to help them, to guide them, not to criticize them or put them down, but to encourage them and take them on the journey that the Lord has called them to. Amen? So that's what we can do. We can praise our fathers and all the men around us. And we can also pray. We can pray without ceasing. We can constantly cover them in our prayers. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2, it says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You see, a lot of times, even honestly speaking, I felt like I don't feel qualified to even speak to men because I didn't think they would listen. They may say, oh, what's a woman? What does she? She's a woman. What does she know? Right? But even as a wife, there are some things I feel like, even if my husband may not listen to me, he does, but if I feel like he may not listen to me, I can tell God about it. And as children too, if we feel like whatever we've been encouraging and telling our fathers to do, they are not doing, or even anybody else that can influence them, they are not influencing them, we can pray to God, the one who created them, the one who has the heart of kings in his hands, and he can turn it to whichever direction he wants to. We can intercede for them. Sometimes they are going in the wrong direction. They don't know it. They're just so convinced that this is the right way to go. How many of us have experienced this in a car with them? They feel like this is the way. And we end up turning back to where we should have gone. That's okay. We can pray. You see what the GPS does? Even though they were so convinced that that was the direction, what did the GPS do? Redirecting. And that's what God can do. He can redirect them. Even when the mercy of God can speak. Even when, it's not about you winning and saying, yes, I got it. Yes, this man has failed now. He will learn his lesson. You can pray for the mercy of God to intervene in that on his behalf. Amen. So that's one thing, two things I will share with us today we can do. We can praise them. We can pray for them. And I just want to, in closing, turn us to our perfect Father, our God in heaven. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's our heavenly Father. Some of us, maybe even our hearts are bleeding out because they feel like, oh, I wish my dad was still here. Everyone longs for a father. Everyone longs for that person to say, I love you. I'm proud of you. You can succeed. Everybody does. Even those of us that have fathers, we do long for a perfect father. But God is there. Just want to encourage us this morning. Let's turn to our heavenly Father. Let our fathers turn to their perfect Father. Let the fatherless turn to their perfect Father. Amen? So I just want to reiterate what I mentioned today. We celebrate our fathers today and every day because God has called them to be our protectors, our providers, our priests, our progenitors. And we believe along with them that they will continue to be progressive in the name of Jesus. And us, We will continue to be that support and pillar for them. We will praise them. We will acknowledge the good works that they are doing. We'll pray for them. And all of us, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the perfect one, will not be lacking in any way in the name of Jesus. It will be strengthened like never before in the name of Jesus. So I just want to create an opportunity for us. If you feel like you don't see God as a father, you don't see him as your best friend, you don't see him as the one who believes in you, maybe you see him as a person who is always pointing out the wrong things to you, or a person who is coming to punish you. He's not that way. He has just love and goodness to give you. Like the scripture we read, he says every good and every perfect gift comes from him. There is no darkness in him at all. He just wants to love you. He just wants to help you. He just wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to wipe your tears away. He wants to be the father that you've never experienced. So I just want us to bow our heads this afternoon. And let's just connect with our Father. He loves you. His arms are open always. And he wants to reignite that relationship with you. I don't know if you're here, you feel like, I used to know him as a father, but with the busyness of life and with all the things that have been happening, I've not had that connection with him like I ought to. I want you to return back to your Father. Receive his love this morning. Receive his love this morning. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to show you many things that you don't know about your situation, about yourself, and about himself too.